Heyo, Scott. We are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. Scott Manzi here with me, Alex Turco, and as always, we are going to be guiding you through some of the craziest stories, not just in sports, but in the world. And I say that because as I'm scrolling through topics sports-wise for the show tonight, I saw hundreds of innkeeper worms wash up on the California shore.
Do I want to know what an innkeeper worm is?
The answer is no, and I'm going to tell you anyway.
Oh, no.
It is also called the penis fish. And hold on, I'm going to pull up the picture, and it is...
Bad radio. Okay.
It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible.
So I'm assuming it's named this for a very specific reason.
Yes.
There's an aesthetic to it that resembles...
Yeah? Spot on.
Male genitalia?
Spot on. Okay. Spot on.
All right. Then I don't need the picture.
It's impressive, though, I will
say.
Believe
it or not, yeah. I may have seen one or two.
The innkeeper worms certainly, you know, might make a couple guys jealous, but it's like an Anthony Weiner text.
Anthony Weiner. Is there ever been a more aptly named person in human history than Anthony Weiner? He of the sexed?
He literally invented sexting, I feel like.
He
should have something in the dictionary.
I was in high school when he started it, and he's still doing it.
He can't stop.
No.
He's like, what do you want me to do? My last name's Weiner.
I was put on this earth to do this.
But I do have some sports-related news, as we both do. Tons of sports topics to get to today. Bowl season right around the corner. We're going to touch on some of those. NFL, things are not just shaping up. Things are becoming very clear, and we're going to look at that picture as we go into the playoffs. And then, hey, surprise, surprise, Scott, Josh Gordon suspended by the NFL indefinitely.
Speaking of guys, they just can't stop. And, you know, you hate it in a way that I just hate to see anybody struggling with addiction or issues. And the way the NFL... does it, like, we never find out specifically what it is, but like, I just want him to, you know, I watched the TV show BoJack Horseman on Netflix, and like, it's a guy that has a lot of vices and addictions and issues, and like, finally, you know, he goes off to, you know, spoiler, goes off to rehab to start season 6, but you know, it's like one of those where you just want to, you're rooting for somebody in that situation to finally, you know, kind of
break
face
through,
their demons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, at this point, I don't know if we'll ever see Josh Gordon again, but I've said that before, and then he resurfaced with the Patriots.
Yep.
But, well, hey, Scott, that's a pretty nice watch there. I know this is bad radio, but very sharp, man. You're looking snazzy.
Thanks. It was like $25.
So yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm a bargain watch hunter,
you
will.
That looks good. So, speaking of NFL teams and the picture becoming more clear as we watch Drew Brees break the record here for most touchdown passes, surpassing Peyton Manning here on Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, my Steelers fell to the Buffalo Bills last night, making it a little bit harder for them, whereas they probably need to win out at this point. And the picture's a lot more clear now because they didn't win. The Bills are one game out from taking over that division.
And locked down their playoff spot with the win last night.
Exactly, and clinched a playoff spot, whereas the Steelers are clawing and holding on for that sixth seed now. And thankfully for the Steelers, the Titans lost to the Houston Texans, which kind of held everything status quo. But I wanted to ask you, how do you see this AFC wild card shaking out? I mean, we have the Titans and Steelers. I'll tell you right now, since you don't have it in front of you, Titans have the Saints next week and then close out the year in a rematch against the Texans. The Steelers have the New York Jets and then the Baltimore Ravens, the Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore Ravens, because RG3, they've announced, will be starting week 17.
Man, it is not easy because I don't feel strong about either one of these two teams right now. The way Devlin Duck Hodges played last night was not good at all at home in a primetime game. And
that
I know
the rookie in him for sure.
I know it was against a pretty good defense in Buffalo, but at the same time, the last night was an all-time Mike Tomlin facial expression game, by the way, because there was just so much that went wrong for the Steelers throughout the course of the game, and yet they still had a chance to win it at the end. The Titans, I just keep waiting for the clock to strike midnight on them. Like, they can't be this good. Like, Ryan Tannehill has to turn back into a pumpkin at some point, right? I mean, this isn't who he is it? But that was a huge sequence.
He did get a huge contract when he was in Miami because they thought this is who he would be.
Right, and he's shown flashes, but has really struggled with injuries in his career that's been his biggest downfall. But I think the biggest deal there was the fact that the Texans kind of got back. They got their mojo back a little bit with the win over the Titans and then quick turnaround. And you play him again 2 weeks later. Weird scheduling quirk in that regard.
That's tough, especially divisional games. Of course, it's divisional if you're rematching. But those games, whether they're spread out week 1 and week 16, you can pretty much always assume they're going to be close because mm-hmm. they're so familiar with each other.
I just don't like the Titans. And this stems back to when we did this segment a couple of weeks ago and we looked at the schedule down the stretch. I still don't like this, the way it sets up for the Titans. You're going to play a Saints team that, granted, they're locked in. I don't think they're going to be resting guys yet. It's a little early to be doing that. And even if they do rest guys, remember Teddy Bridgewater is the backup, and they won quite a few games with him in there too. So that's not an easy matchup. And then you play a Houston team that is, you know, trying to build momentum into the playoffs as well at the end, and trying to make sure that they're potentially winning that division.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know this, but the Saints are sitting at 10-3. Can they still get the one seed? Because the 49ers hold the tiebreaker on them, but the 49ers just lost to Atlanta yesterday.
Packers are also 10-3, I do believe.
Well, I know the Packers are the 2 seed, so that would make sense if they're the 2 seed and the Saints are the 3 seed. But I think the 1 seed's still alive. And if they can win out, the Saints, that is, beat the Titans, and then their last game is going to be a divisional game. They're probably, I think they played the Falcons twice. Might be playing the Panthers. Let's see. Pull it up.
All right. So, you know, as it stands right now, your 1 seed is the Seahawks, your 2 seed is the Packers, and your 3 seed is the Saints.
Wait, the Seahawks are the 1 seed?
Yeah, they're the 11-3.
God, they just
Seahawks.
Steal games.
I know.
Yeah, they're in every game.
You're 11-3. 49ers are the 5 seed.
Oh, my God. The NFC is so much better than the AFC.
Except for the
this
NFC
year.
East.
Well, yeah, the AFC, NFC East is an absolute joke this year. The Eagles, did you see how they won?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that Carson Wentz touchdown pass was...
To what, Miles Sanders?
Greg Ward.
Oh, both of them. So I'm going to paint the picture here as best I can. You're the play-by-play guy, but let me give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah, go
for
it.
So Carson Wentz to Miles Sanders earlier in the game. He's rolling to his right. Remember, he's right-handed. Rolling to his right. On his back right foot, his left foot is in the air, body off balance, and pure arm strength sidearms it, guns it to the back pylon, corner of the end zone, Miles Sanders touchdown. And then you're referencing his pass to Greg Ward, and we've talked about it on here. And
perfectly placed.
Perfectly placed. Greg Ward, a former
quarterback
Houston
for Houston,
quarterback. He was the guy.
Florida State in the Peach Bowl.
Correct. You went, you know, we think alike.
Yep. Jumped in front of you there.
No, that was
Tom Herman, Houston.
Yeah, golly. They were so fired up. I was at that game, actually. The old Peach Bowl.
Were you really?
Sean McGuire broke an ankle because Jimbo Fisher literally would not put J.J. Constantino in unless he had to because he was so bad.
Yeah, it was also very unfortunate the fact that Everett Golson didn't travel to that bowl game, and it's like, wow, you could use him perhaps in this game. That is the one and only time, and I feel like enough time has passed where I can admit this, that I have actively had another game up while and watching it that I was truly invested in while broadcasting a game.
Really?
So JU was playing a basketball game at the same time, same
day. I'm sorry
day,
you had to see that.
And I had the Peach Bowl up, and I was like, this is probably a really bad look because everybody behind me can see my laptop and that I'm watching the Peach Bowl while broadcasting a basketball game.
We looked sharp and all garnet that day. That's the only victory we had.
Pretty much.
But to get us back
to this,
on track,
yeah. Yes,
back on track, Carson Wentz, 2 great balls. The last one was to who we were talking about, Greg Ward Jr., the former quarterback for Houston.
Greg
Ward
Jr., the third.
Throws a dime on the left side of the field. Greg Ward, converted receiver, who had an opportunity to step up because all the injuries there in Philadelphia, made a great catch, and they beat the Washington Redskins. But that brings us back to the NFC East. I mean, next week we have a showdown that probably decides the division when the Cowboys play the Eagles.
And it makes no sense to support anybody other than the Cowboys in this game. And by support, I mean like to think that the Eagles are going to win this game seems crazy to me. But the Cowboys have done nothing but lose games that people expect them to win all year long, which is why they're in this situation. No doubt in my mind, the more talented of the two teams is the Cowboys. Look what the Cowboys just did this past week to a Rams team that is still in the playoff hunt that was coming off maybe its best win of the year, and they smoked them. And
it was bad. What was it, like 41 to 20?
It was 24-7 at halftime when I turned it off. I was like, this is enough of this. The Cowboys should win the game. I don't know what that means. The Cowboys necessarily do win the game, but I would have to lean toward them to win it even on the road because of the fact that the Eagles are playing with this piecemeal team with no wide receivers, no defensive backs.
Secondary, yep.
And they barely managed to win the last couple of games against some bad teams. I just think that it's going to be a colossal failure, we'll put it this way, if the Cowboys don't find a way to win the game.
Yeah.
Win this division.
I'd be surprised if they didn't, but the Eagles and the Cowboys, in their own little way, have found a way to surprise me every single week. It's like I can't get a read on either of them because the Cowboys on paper, like you said, should be good. And every week they should be in the game, and then if they're supposed to win, they don't. And then if they're supposed to lose, they come. There's Dak Prescott. Oh, look at him here, fighting for a contract.
Man, oh man! Week one of the NFL playoffs of the season ended today. You've got your NFC matchups as the Niners against the Cowboys, and the Vikings against the Saints. Goodness gracious, that is high level. Like both of those games would be phenomenal.
Yeah, that Vikings Saints game, that really catches my eye. I think that'd be a great game.
Can you guess what time that Bills Texans game would be?
Oh, one on a Saturday.
The ESPN game. Yeah.
Oh, it's the
I think
wor-
it's
is
in
it?
The contract. No, I mean, it's obviously there. This is all hypothetical still because the season's not over yet, but I think it's in the contract that the Texans have to play the 4:15 Saturday, 4:30 Saturday game or whatnot on
ESPN.
Oh,
it's the worst. I remember last year I was at a bar watching the Colts play the Texans, and I was like, golly, I already see these two boring-ass teams play twice a year.
All the time.
As if I need to see it again.
Doesn't it say enough about the Jags?
When nothing else is on.
Jags didn't even get that game when they made the playoffs a couple years ago. They got the 1 o'clock Jim Nance, Tony Romo against the Bills on Sunday.
Sunday.
It was great. Bad game, aesthetically
at
least. Good win, but not exactly pretty. No. Speaking of the Jags, I'm just yearning for the old days of the playoffs, man.
Well, it's not like
times
it's a commonplace here. It's not common.
I'm just meaning 2 years ago. Yeah. When times were good.
Spoiled for 1 year, Scott Manzi over here.
Yeah, yesterday was the anniversary of like the Jags clinching a playoff berth. And it just doesn't just... We've come a long way downward in the last 2 years, I'll say that. There's a lot of teams that make the playoffs and don't return to the playoffs that don't have this sort of a tumble from grace, if you will.
So last week you promised and you made a vow here on air that you weren't going to watch another minute of Jacksonville Jaguars football. Did you watch a minute of the game?
I did not.
Highlights don't count.
I didn't even see any highlights. I've seen absolutely nothing pertaining to the Jags. I knew that they were playing at the same time. We were blessed with a game actually opposite the Jags window on Sunday. So I tuned in to the first half of the Cowboys-Rams game. That got dull enough. I got the buzz on my phone because I subscribed to the Jacksonville.com app, and it says that the Jaguars are trailing whatever it was, like 24-3 or something at halftime.
Yeah, it was 16-3.
I was like, oh, man, really not missing anything here.
13-3.
Yeah, watched a rom-com on Netflix during the second half of that Cowboys-Rams game because I wasn't going to watch that.
Scott, we got to get you some red zone or something.
And then, it's cord-cutting problems.
Yeah.
No red zone for the guys without cable. But it was okay because I threw the rom-com on. I was kind of half paying attention. I was doing some work, made some Christmas-themed desserts in the kitchen, and then threw on the Sunday Nighter.
I'm picturing you in an apron walking around, skipping and singing
exactly
with candles.
I was whistling.
Christmas tree-scented candles.
It was great. It was great. I did have a candle burning yesterday, not Christmas tree scented. I have an actual Christmas tree, so I don't have to have that scent.
Oh, there you go.
The real deal. But I did not watch any of it. And you know what? I missed apparently a really great comeback in the fourth quarter and some Gardner Minshew magic.
And, you know, and that is the thing. He is literally magical. This team.
I am glad, even though I didn't see it, yeah. that he is continuing to play at a high level, because I do think he is more of the future than that other guy that's dressed out at quarterback this year.
Yeah, the other guy that they're paying millions of dollars to ride the pine now. But
yeah, well, you know, for another couple months.
Well, yeah, he'll be cut. But then there's dead cap space that's going to come with that.
They already have that with Blake Bortles.
Well, that's right. They can't get QB right.
Guess what? Part of that, and then tied into the news that just came out today, the QB issues, all of this NFL Players Association issue, this is why, I mean, today was the nail, even though the Jags managed to win a game, which for the fans that did spend all day yesterday watching that game, God bless you, and I'm glad that the team won for your sake, because I'm glad that you all had something to be happy about at the end of the day. My life didn't change regardless of how the game went yesterday because I chose not to watch it, but that's just one human being. Most people probably did watch that game, and the diehards were able to have a little feeling of positivity. But if nothing else, I think we got the nail in the proverbial coffin today on Tom Coughlin
yes.
and the rest of that front office with the fact that this organization is an absolute disaster.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and share the news. I mean, I know
the NFL Players Association released their findings today. Grievances filed to the league, according to many, many grievances. The Jaguars have a bit of a history over the last couple of years of forcing players.
Since guess who came in charge?
Since old TC came in charge of forcing players to do things that are not supposed to be mandatory according to the collective bargaining agreement. So you're not supposed to be able to force players to stay. Remember, this was a whole kerfuffle this summer with them. Remember, one of the rare times that Coughlin actually came out and spoke to the media and basically called out Jalen Ramsey and others for not being there at
and he got in trouble
voluntary
for that
OTAs. Yeah, it's you know what? Some may call it the millennial culture or whatnot, but guess what? When your entire life revolves around a job and you have a vacation, you should be able to do the vacation during the vacation and do work away from that as opposed to...
Well, also, if you saw, I mean, they were mandating guys to come in for their medical exams.
Right. So if you were doing...
In the team facility...
If you're doing rehab, you had to do it on the facility.
Which was against the rules. And then when guys yeah. didn't show up to do that, which was totally in their right.
Exactly.
They were fined.
They're getting fined. And Dante Fowler Jr. came out was the most commonly fined guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he ended up being fined thousands of dollars and won his appeal. And got,
yep.
didn't have to pay the money, which good for him. You know, and that's the one time I've actually felt like Dante Fowler won anything around here. So good for him in that regard, I suppose. But it was, you know, this is stemming from a deeper systemic issue. There is a certain belief in operation in this organization that just doesn't reflect the values of 2019 and how things go. And you know
but
what?
But screw the values of 2019. Think of it black and white. Tom Coughlin, I don't care how old he is. There's always been rules. In 1960, there were rules. In 2019, there are rules. I don't care what the rules are. He knew the rules and broke them. It's that simple. If you
well,
just
want
to break it down in black and white.
The rules back then were more dictated by leadership.
Yeah.
You created your own rules. You created your own set of standards.
Well, my point
and
is
he's
breaking
still
operating
a rule, under his own set of rules.
But he signed off on agreeing to these rules because
right.
it comes the owners and front office have to agree upon these when they do the Players Association meetings and come up with all this. But here's a stat that was alarming to me. 25% of the grievances filed by players this past year in the NFL.
All Jaguars.
25% were by the Jaguars.
That's bad.
In the whole league. That's crazy, man.
And it makes you wonder why certain guys have elected to no longer be part of this
yeah.
organization.
Well, and something that's scary moving forward is the
NFL. Are free agents going to want to come?
That's what I was going to say. The NFLPA even issued a little statement. Did you see their
offered a warning.
But they did. They gave
yeah.
a warning, and it said, you may want to, like I said, this is not quoted because I'm going to say it wrong, but you may want to caution yourself before choosing the Jaguars
right.
based
was
on our
just
findings.
Like, consider
Taysom Hill is such a badass. He's a quarterback, and he's a receiver, and he's everything.
He's everything. By the way, a guy could never stay healthy in college, and now he's just a bruiser that can't get injured
in
the pros.
At BYU, he had one good bowl game, I remember, and everyone's like, oh my God, this Taysom Hill guy.
Well, Taysom Hill's like 30 because the fact that he played like 6 years in college and went on a mission. So
yeah.
He kept getting medical red shirts, remember, because he kept getting injured?
Yeah.
Now we got the Tanner Mangum experience, and then...
Yes.
Mangum. Anyway.
God, that's right.
Taysom Hill, yeah. I mean, he was in college, I think, when I was in college. But he is fun to watch. But unlike the Jaguars, who... You know what? If this is what it takes to blow this thing up and start from scratch again, which I hate to admit needs to happen probably, but you got to go out and get a new front office. And I don't care that Shad Khan is busy with Fulham or that he isn't traditionally one that goes out in the media and talks about things. He's got to say something. He's got to at least say, like, listen, this isn't how we're...
Because no one wants to hear from Coughlin right now.
Coughlin doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's been hiding behind Doug Marrone all season.
Yep.
And it's pathetic, honestly.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I've said this. You've said this. They have, the Jags, that is, have a nice core of players. And Yannick Ngakoue and Josh Allen proved
that again.
Yeah, they got to
pay the man.
But here's the thing. Now they also have Minshew. And we have a lot of pieces, a lot of players. DJ Shark, you know, just a nice core to build on. But really,
Westbrook, Conley, if you want to re-sign him, are pretty good.
Fournette, you know.
Fournette, if you can get him for cheap, might as
well
bring him back.
But the front office, like you said, Shad Khan has to make the move now. It's not a debate. You know, I guess he could wait till week 17.
I think they're
going to
wait.
I
think he's going to wait till the end of the season.
Yeah, what's it matter now? But they have to be
like
dead.
It's not like you're going to win an additional
heads
two
have to roll. And you said this last week on the podcast. Something's going to come out that locker room is shattered. And I have two sides of the coin there. I don't feel like the locker room has issues with each other, which I think is good.
I agree with you.
I think
now
the players like each other.
I think this group. I think it was evidenced by the way that game ended yesterday. That
totally
this,
agree.
That this group has not quit on them, on each other as a team.
Yep. And they all hate the management.
I knew there was
teams.
Something deeper in there, and it turns out that I think they're
you were right.
fractured against the guys that are in charge.
Yes.
I don't even think they hate Marrone that much, quite honestly. I think they might honestly feel bad for him.
Dude, Marrone is not the problem. I love Marrone. Not that I think he's like a Super Bowl winning coach or that he shouldn't or that he should still be coaching the Jags after all this. But
yeah, you need a clean.
You got to start fresh. But I don't think it's Marrone's
fault.
He's got to go, but it's not Marrone's fault.
And I respect him for coming out and kind of throwing some shade to the front office in recent press conferences where he's been like, listen, I don't have the
support.
You're
asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get sent up here to be the battering ram on a week in, week out basis. And again, I think that's kind of BS in the fact that for personnel issues and other questions, the personnel people that are in charge of that should be answering those questions, and the organizational people should be answering those questions, and they don't. They just hide up in their boxes and don't talk to anybody. So, you know, hopefully this was the bottoming out point here, and we'll see things start trending up over the course of the next couple of months for the Jaguars, but. What about some positive football stuff? Can we talk about some positive football stuff?
Yeah, let's do it. I think we both talked more Jags than we thought we would, especially taking into account you didn't even watch it.
Exactly. But, you know, when news breaks, as it did today, which
more
was
than we
major,
planned on, but, you know.
Major stuff.
But they got to make changes, turn over a new leaf, and get this thing going in the right direction because I don't think they're as far off as they feel.
No, I think there's, like you said, I think there are some pieces there, and with some intelligent moves made and maybe some better leadership from the top down, this thing could come back into it a little sooner than I think we thought. This isn't like what happened after Mike Mularkey got fired and the organization reset and there was so little talent on that 2013 team that it wasn't even an NFL roster.
No, that was a really bad team. But all right, give me some positive NFL.
Well, you know what? No,
positive football news.
Positive football news? It's, you know... It's Capital One Bowl month?
Month. Yeah, well, I love
bowl
every
season.
Single commercial they play the jingle bells.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It gets me so fired up. Bowl season is one of my favorite times of the year. For as sad as it is that the, you know, The well, college football season's ending. It's like also exciting.
It's like a fireworks display in the grand finale, right? You want to go out on a high note? Well, how about just a bunch of games, loud games, everyday games, so much games that you get your fill to go out on a great moment. And here we are, less than a week away from bowl week actually getting started. So we wanted to do a special deal, and the fact that unlike our really rabid, deep-focused rivalry weekend breakdown podcast, we're just going to narrow things down. Too many bowl games to choose from.
We can't do a preview of every bowl. No. Well, we could,
but that would take forever, and we're already running late as it is. So we decided to pick our three bowl games, playoff notwithstanding, that are caught our attention the most heading into bowl season. So why don't you lead off? Which one of your three?
Let's do a little rotation. I do one, you do one. Yep. Okay. So
snake draft, or are we just rotating back and forth?
Oh, here's Beckett's hairbrush. Oh, I was wondering what I was sitting on here.
That can't have been comfortable.
No, it wasn't. So, yeah, we'll do a little snake draft.
Okay.
So here's, I'm going to start from the bottom. I'm going to work up to the one I'm most excited to watch.
Okay.
I'm actually very interested in the Georgia-Baylor game.
Okay.
Reason being, I think Matt Rhule's a great coach. Their quarterback may be out, Charlie Brewer. I really want to see how Georgia bounces back from last year's bowl against Texas, where they weren't inspired at all. Clearly the better team, but they came out flat and Texas won. So I want to see what Kirby Smart does with them. If he can get them up for a bowl game, that really doesn't mean anything. Because a lot of the bowls, if you're not in the playoff, they don't really mean shit, you know?
If Georgia gets blown out another bowl game and it's just like the, oh, we didn't care, well then, do you have the right leadership in charge?
Right.
I mean, at this point, because guess what? I know you made the SEC championship game, and I know you're going into the season thinking playoff again, but it was, you weren't good enough. And it's not like you suffered a really close loss like they did in the SEC title game last year. I can certainly see how that was just disappointing to everybody.
It's a true hangover at that point.
You had 3.5 quarters to realize you weren't winning the game this year.
Yep.
So you might as well have started thinking about what bowl game you're going to be in by halftime, and then how you can try and bounce back
if you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Plus that freshman that played at the end of the Big 12 title game,
you
at
like
QB
that
for
guy.
Baylor, that kid can sling it.
Yeah, you he can like sling that
it. Almost led Baylor to an upset victory and maybe a chance at the playoff if they had
managed. Did. And the factor to all these games is almost everyone has what, 2-3 weeks to prepare.
Right.
You know, I mean, that makes a big difference for some of these young guys.
And is it Matt Rhule's last game as Baylor's head coach?
Where's he going?
The NFL? Question mark?
We'll see. I mean, if the Cowboys win the division.
His name is going to
division,
be very popular.
Here's the domino that could really affect stuff, though. If the Cowboys' job opens up. Because I think Lincoln Riley is a very, very real candidate from Oklahoma to that. And then yep. I think Oklahoma might be trying to pull a Matt Campbell from Iowa State or a Matt Rhule from Baylor. So we'll see how the dominoes fall.
I wouldn't be upset with one of those guys coming here to Jacksonville either, for that matter.
One of the college guys?
Yeah. Why not?
I hate... No.
I mean, I know it doesn't work all the time, but neither do the 3,000 retreads that cycle through professional football, so...
All right, and I could be dead wrong on this because I haven't had time to think about it, but as we're shooting the breeze, name a guy that's worked. Don't say Kingsbury. Cliff
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, okay.
Won a national championship
and
a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, okay.
I would say that worked.
Okay, give me some more. I think you would agree the odds are in my favor as
far as
numbers.
I would say so. I would say so, but...
Of course, there's outliers.
There's
Steve
always outliers.
Steve Spurrier, right?
Boy.
Nick Saban.
That one did not work.
Yeah.
There have been others. I mean, we've seen the Chan Gailey's of the world that have done both and maybe not all that successfully. And
he bounced around the NFL forever.
Yeah, Al Groh did both for a while, mediocre, probably a little better in college. Who else? I mean, well, heck.
It would be exciting for the Jags, but I don't
think... Doug Marone took him to the playoffs. He was a college guy. He was in Syracuse.
Syracuse, yep.
And before he went to Buffalo, so...
All right, so what else intrigues you on the Bowls?
I'm leading things off with the granddaddy of them all, and no, I'm not talking about the Rose Bowl. I'm talking about the granddaddy of all the wacky bowls, and that is the Cheez-It Bowl. Cheez-It Bowl probably earned this reputation last year, on just the insanity, and I missed it because I'd gone to bed. Not making that same mistake this year.
Wait, you didn't miss anything.
The Cheez-It Bowl?
Which one was the one that got rained out with Boston College where they literally didn't play it?
No, I'm pretty sure the Cheez-It Bowl was the one that went back and forth and ended up like 49-48, right? I don't know. I'll do a little research here. But in the meantime, Cheez-It Bowl this year features a great matchup. It is on the 27th of December, 10:15 kick, so it's late.
Oh.
And it's the perfect dichotomy of styles. Wazoo in the air raid against Air Force and the option.
I cannot believe you went with this as your first game.
But then, I mean, we're going 3-1, right? Number three.
Yeah, we're going. The last one's gonna be our most intriguing.
Yeah, okay.
You just really like Mike Leach.
I just think it's fun. I think this stuff is. I don't know. I do like Mike Leach. I do like. I got to type in 2018.
18
Cheez-It Bowl, yeah. So I think that it's just...
You're right. They are the complete opposite.
It's an intriguing matchup.
I'm not putting a pot of coffee on to stay up for that 10:15 kick there. There's no way. So, Cal TCU.
Yeah, Cal TCU
you're right.
Is super high scoring.
And I think
it was the best, worst bowl game ever.
I think it was like 7-7 in the...
Yeah, the same day that the game got canceled. But here we go. Okay, so the Cheez-It Bowl... At first blush, oh no, it was. So I'm getting this confused with a different one.
Okay.
Never mind.
I apologize.
All right. So this game finished 10-7. TCU beat Cal. And there was a OT. It was an OT. And there were more interceptions than points. 9 picks than Cal had points. Oh, and there was a pick on a Philly special. TCU's quarterback has now thrown interceptions after receiving a forward pass from another player after crossing the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need your rules. Just let him throw interceptions.
So what game was canceled last year? We have to look that up, too, while it's on my head.
It was the
same. Boston College versus somebody.
Yeah, it was like the Bell Helicopters Bowl or something like that. The First Responders Bowl.
First Responders,
Dallas,
okay.
The Heart of Dallas.
Who was it, BC versus who?
Boise.
Oh, they did the world a favor.
Yeah, they had an hour and a half of stoppage, and they just canceled the game.
They're like, screw it, no one cares, the fans are gone, the TV contract is blown.
Man, which was the one that was like super high scoring back and forth? I don't know. Maybe I'll remember by the end of the night. But anyway, this matchup does intrigue me with the Cheez-It Bowl. That's on the 27th of December, late kick, 10:15 out on the West Coast.
Scott's going to be drinking coffee and texting me about this game, and I can't wait to hear about it. The next game I'm going to go with that intrigues me, Iowa State versus Notre Dame. You can notice a little bit of a trend here.
Mm-hmm.
I love Matt Rhule. I love Matt Campbell. I'm excited to see if Matt Campbell, with some extra time to prepare the Iowa State Cyclones, can pull off an upset of Notre Dame, who is a team down the stretch started playing really good football and seemed like they kind of hit their stride, the Irish, that is. So I'm excited to see that. It's right in our backyard in Orlando.
Yeah. World Bowl on the 28th of December, a noon kick. I do believe the last time Notre Dame played in this bowl, do you remember when that was?
I was there as well.
Yeah, so that would be the 2011.
11, yep.
Russell Athletic Bowl is known back then, where E.J. Emanuel led a second-half comeback as Florida State's O-line, which had been trash all year, decided to all of a sudden figure out how to play together in the second half of a bowl game.
Well, no. They benched all the starters.
That's
and
right.
Put
they played all the young guys,
freshmen.
All the freshmen,
Bobby
including
Hart,
Bobby Hart, who was like 19. 17.
He was
17,
I think. I'm serious.
I think he might have been 17.
Because he graduated early. Whatever, 17.
Still earning a paycheck.
So Bobby Hart, it was... Bobby Hart, Jose
Matias,
Brian Stork.
Cam Irving, was he on that line?
He was a D-tackle still then.
Oh, man, yeah.
Crazy. But, yes, E.J. Manuel led an amazing comeback using Rashad Green to the best of his abilities, and that was a great game. I had a pretty annoying Notre Dame fan behind me the whole first half, and I was very excited about the comeback in the second half. And made sure he knew that I was happy about that. So I'm excited to see Notre Dame-Iowa State. I think that's going to be a great game. And Matt Campbell being such a good coach, I mean, this is where you prove it. Iowa State has a lot more on the line than Notre Dame does. And these smaller schools really get up for these big bowl game matchups. And that's why we see a lot of upsets.
All right, my next one is the Alamo Bowl. Texas, Utah on the 31st of December, 7:30 kickoff. Texas, they were the biggest darlings of the bowl season last year with their big win in the Sugar Bowl. Bevo almost killed Uga pregame, and that was just a precursor for what was to come. And Texas, Sam Ellinger declares they're back. Well, guess what? They went 7-5 this year. They do have a chance to kind of finish the year on a high note, however, and obviously have shown that they can play good, well in bowl games. Utah, on the other hand, has to be feeling disappointed with the way things shook out in the Pac-12 title game. They miss out on the playoff, which it seemed like they were shoo-in if they could have just won that game. But still, this is a good opportunity for a Utah team that doesn't play a whole lot of big-time opponents in these type of bowl games. And this is a great chance for, I think, a very well-coached team to kind of bounce back and end the year on a high note as well. So the Alamo Bowl traditionally has some decent matchups over the years, too, and I like this one. Texas, Utah, 7:30 on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Utah has to have a bad taste in their mouth after being abused by Oregon. I mean, they were embarrassed in the Pac-12 title game. Tried to make a little go of it in the third quarter.
Yeah, that third quarter they had a little bit of a spurt, and I thought maybe...
But that was it.
But that was it.
That was it. So I'm torn here. I know we said three. I might make you... I have five.
Are we going honorable mention? Or we can just rattle off our honorable mentions at the end.
I'll do honorable mention because I feel like if you don't hit one of these, it needs to be said. So my last one, though, is Alabama versus Michigan. Just because it's two blue bloods, and I can't wait to watch Alabama's offense and those receivers against Michigan, whose defense, you know, got shredded by Ohio State, and see if they bounce back. Also, part of me just wants Harbaugh to keep failing because I want to see what they'll do with him in Michigan, because at some point he has to have a floor where they're like, okay, this won't work anymore. But he's their dream candidate, and they got him, and now it's not working. So what, do they fire him? I mean, I don't feel like he's going anywhere.
Whatever the line is on this game, and I haven't seen it yet, I mean, I'm taking Alabama to cover. Michigan just doesn't even compete in these type of games.
No.
The Big Ten generally doesn't even compete in these type
Alabama's
of games.
Alabama's defense has been terrible all year. These extra practices that I mentioned, I think you're going to see a different tied defense.
Last time we saw Alabama in a game like this, in which they missed the playoff. Do you remember? Or
didn't they lose the national championship game? Didn't they lose to Utah?
No, I think it was after that. It was more recent than that. If I'm remembering correctly, it was the Capital One Bowl in about 2000. It was 2009. It was the year after they won the national championship. You know what? I think you may be right. I mean, the Utah game may be afterward. But they did play, I'm thinking of a team that underachieved by Alabama standards, that played a Big Ten team from Michigan and absolutely pasted them. And that was Michigan State in the Capital One Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was 2009, which is the year that McElroy and crew lost to, it was whatever year that Auburn won the national championship.
Yeah.
And it was the year so it was 2010, because it was the year after Alabama won their first natty under...
Yep. That was the Cam Newton, Michael Dwyer, Auburn team.
So this game is the... is it the Capital One Bowl again?
No, it's not.
I've got it. Oh, well, it's... Yeah, but it's, of course, is now known as the Citrus Bowl again.
Oh,
I forgot.
They rotate.
So, yeah. It's the Citrus Bowl again, January 1st, 1 o'clock in Orlando, Michigan, Alabama. Yeah, they're probably staying in the same hotel that Alabama stayed in last time. Who knows? But that is the matchup on paper sounds good to me. It's just the matter of I just don't see Michigan being able to keep this game.
Yeah, it just intrigues me because it's two blue bloods. It's exciting seeing those two jerseys on the field at the same time.
It is funny that you have gone heavy blue blood and I have gone.
Yeah, you're going small school. Well, I'm glad that's good balance.
Yes, so I will finish with this one, the Outback Bowl. Minnesota and the other school from Alabama.
Yes,
so
they were on
Big
my
Ten
list.
SEC matchup, and this is a Minnesota team that has a lot. This is the perfect, like, one team has a lot to play for, and the other one I could see, quote unquote, not being invested, because if the SEC doesn't win a bowl game, it's because they're one invested, right? That's how it always works. Minnesota, I mean, this is a huge opportunity for them. Outback Bowl. New Year's
the best
Day.
Season they've had in
they've
forever.
Had a great year. They almost made the Big Ten title game, and they are going to go in wanting to put a capper on this. Remember, PJ Fleck, last time he coached on New Year's Day was when he took Western Michigan and they barely lost to Wisconsin in the Fiesta Bowl, I think. And so he's going to want another opportunity at a New Year's Day Bowl win. And Auburn, they already got their biggest one of the year, and that was over Alabama. And I think they're going to be more invested than most SEC teams are in these type of games because they weren't really in the picture for the SEC title game in the playoff. This is a matchup of two pretty good defenses and some offenses that may or may not get going. I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun one at 1 o'clock on January 1st.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Those January 1st games, the slate is always the best. So honorable mention here.
Yep, you rattle off.
I have Washington and Chris Peterson in his
last. I've got this one too.
Do you?
The Las Vegas Bowl.
It's his last bowl game because he's stepping down, as I mentioned in my solo pod. But against guess who? Boise State. How fitting. His old school. He's matching up against the Broncos. And then
Boise State's the better team.
Do you think?
They're ranked.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're the better team, but they have an injury at quarterback. I think Bachmeier's still out.
He is. But they've won games with the backup in there.
They have. You're right.
Bachmeier missed the last like two or three games of the year.
Yep.
Which is amazing. He probably should have been knocked out of the first game
of
the year.
One more honorable mention, but I'll let you go.
Vegas Bowl, by the way, with that Washington-Boise State, that is the 21st of December. So that's one of the first bowls.
That's this weekend.
Yeah. 7:30 p.m. on that kickoff.
The 21st is Saturday?
I believe it is.
Oh, man. I'm locked in. Give me the Huskies in a revenge game. Too bad we don't do a Turco trifecta anymore. I'd bet the house, everything I have, on Washington. Not really. I haven't looked at the line yet. But my other honorable mention game, Scott, is Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M, mainly because Oklahoma State is always known for their offense, and A&M's kind of fluttered through the season. Hasn't really had a big win at all. I don't necessarily think this would be a huge win, but Oklahoma State is ranked. And, of course, a little bit of sour grapes. I'm rooting against Jimbo Fisher, so I'd like to watch that game. And I don't lose sleep when he wins, but I am going to be rooting for the Pokes here.
That's the Texas Bowl, December 27th at 6:45 p.m., and that game is in Houston. Believe it or not, the Texas Bowl is in a Texas city. All right, here's my honorable mentions. Are you done with yours? Sorry, I didn't want to catch you.
No, that was it. Right. Those were the only two I wanted to make sure I had a little love.
My honorable mentions, the Independence Bowl on the day after Christmas, 4 o'clock, Miami, Louisiana Tech.
I like this one.
Day after Christmas, you don't really want to do much. You don't want to really get too high or too low. You're coming down from one of the best days of the year, so why not put one of the most putrid teams in the country on television and have them play against a team from, what, Conference USA? And
lay it on them, Scott. Lay it
Miami,
on
Miami, who, by the way, hasn't won a bowl game since about 1980, they are trying to salvage the end of their disappointing season under year one of Manny Diaz, and they get a frisky Louisiana Tech bunch coached by Skip Holtz. A little Catholics versus Convicts rematch here, perhaps. Obviously not. That's a big stretch. But Louisiana Tech's decent. Miami's not.
Is Law Tech a Catholic school?
No, but like Lou Holtz was the head coach of Notre Dame during the Catholics for Convicts thing.
Oh,
and Skip Holtz is
his son.
So I made a real stretch to connect the two.
No, there. I like it. Connect the dots.
Catholics versus Bayous, or Convicts versus Gumbo.
It worked. No, I like this one. Actually, I know we're not talking.
I think
talking
the game's going to be ugly, by the way.
Oh, my God. Of course. It's Miami, dude. I mean, we don't have room to talk because the Noles stink, but I can look at bad football and know what's bad football.
Yep.
Miami plays bad football. The thing is, they don't even know who they're starting at QB. They're reopening the quarterback competition for Jaren Williams and Nakosi Perry.
What about Tariq Martell? Does he?
Martell's not even in the running, which is hilarious.
Posted a picture of him throwing a football the other day.
And he said, I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's like, what are you back from?
What does this mean?
No.
Are you back, like...
It's great.
Like, back from the store? Like, what is this? I don't understand. Okay, my other honorable mention. It's the Little Lifter, the Bahamas Bowl, Buffalo, Charlotte, on the 20th of December, 2 o'clock.
You are not intrigued by this.
No, this is the very first game. Charlotte's never made a bowl game in their history.
Okay.
Buffalo is in year one under a new coaching staff and doing well.
Okay.
Without Nate Jackson, right? The big guy that was their quarterback the last couple of years. Have you heard
no.
the story about the head coach at Charlotte, Will Healy, and they've tricked out their locker room. You know how like the Bears have Club Dub or whatever?
Okay.
Well, he's got he's got his own club. So every time they win a game, Charlotte, by the way, has never had a winning season in their history, which is not that long.
Yeah, shocker.
This is a guy who's he's a rising star in the coaching business, took an Austin Peay team that was winless the year before he got there and then turned them into a playoff team after a couple of years and then got the Charlotte job. And he is, get ready, because next year he's going to be one of the hot names in college coaching.
Okay.
And he has turned this play, every time they win a game, they have black lights and disco balls. And like
in the locker room.
And he crowd surfs. And like this dude, he's only in his 30s.
And he's got the energy.
But he gets it. And Charlotte is fun. The 49ers, by the way. Did you know that was their nickname?
No.
Beautiful campus, beautiful stadium right in the heart of it. But Buffalo, I also took the back-to-back Sugar Bowl victories in
Tyson Jackson. That was Tyson the QB last year. Sorry, it just hit me.
I won back-to-back Sugar Bowls with Buffalo in NCAA 07 as well, so they have a soft spot.
I do remember that. You created a dynasty with Buffalo.
Yeah, with Buffalo, and won a couple of Sugar Bowls.
I created a dynasty with North Carolina Pittsburgh job. State, D2.
Pitt State, yeah.
Yeah, really. Out in Kansas.
Yeah, spelled differently.
Yes.
Spelled the same as Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
No H at the end. Yeah. Yep. So, Scott, any other honorable mentions?
Oh, that's it for me. I mean,
that's it for me, too.
Obviously, I'll be keeping an eye on a lot of these as they go throughout, and we're very excited for the playoff. When that gets closer, we'll talk more about that, of course, as well as we touched on it a little bit last week. Shall we wrap things up quickly here with the Manzi mashup?
Yeah, I would love to. Before you get to it, can I just read
go.
You?
Yeah.
And we don't talk a lot of NBA on here, so I do apologize for cutting you off. But
the Turco tidbit, okay.
I am the Turco tidbit, man. We're just flowing today.
Yeah, just a nice dialed in.
A nice 10:50 p.m. recording here. We're still sharp as ever,
burning the midnight oil.
You know, we're always burning the midnight oil
for you folks.
That's
for the
we
content train.
Can't miss it. So I wanted to talk about the NBA slate on Christmas. Is always one of my favorite things.
Yeah? Okay.
It's so fun to watch. We have the Boston Celtics at Toronto at noon. How great is that? Kick off the day or tip off the day. Got to switch gears here.
Yep.
But then we have the Milwaukee Bucks versus the 76ers.
Giannis against Joel Embiid.
And the 76ers home record, I got to pull it up. I had a buddy, shout out to Duffy, who's a 76ers fan, had a short stint in Philadelphia, and he texted me about the 76ers home schedule or home record, and they are tearing it up at home. So they get Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks at home.
But the Bucks are the best team in basketball. So
correct. Well, but it's not like the Sixers can't hang with them.
True.
And then this game's a stinker, but they didn't plan it like this. Golden State is hosting Houston. Houston's going to run
through. Can we flex out of that one?
Yeah, they need to flex that, exactly. And then this is the game of the day here. The Clippers at, well, not at. Clippers versus the Los Angeles Lakers, L.A. versus L.A., both home teams.
Kawhi, LeBron.
Paul George, I mean, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, who's kind of having a resurgence. So, Scott, I would love to get to the Manzi mashup now. I just was excited. Yeah. They flipped the commercial.
So you're a big NBA on Christmas guy? You watch a lot of it?
It's always on.
Okay.
It's always on. I'm not like locked in like I would be a college football playoff game or a bowl game, rather. Because I don't really have like a vested interest in it, but I can make that change. We'll see.
I've had it on before, I know, but it's been a while since I've turned on the Christmas Day games, and I like you. I'm like it was like a thing that was like there,
yeah.
And I like checked on the score every once in a while, but I wasn't like sitting down actually watching.
The truth is, I feel like I flip between that and the Christmas Story all day because the Christmas Story just runs on repeat.
Yeah,
and
you
always
catch up
seem
different.
To catch it on the same spot.
Oh. That's the worst.
It's yeah,
like, okay,
it's
I've already seen Ralphie beat up Scott Farkas.
My family's a big one. It's a Wonderful Life family also.
That's a tearjerker.
So, oh, it sure is, man. I'll tear up about
what,
it.
What do you want, Mary? You want the moon? I'll lasso and bring it down for you.
That's pretty good,
That's my
Scott.
Jimmy Stewart impression.
That is, hey, that was pretty good. But, yeah, so that's our NBA slate. And, yes, I will be following it. And it will be on in the background throughout different points of the day.
Yeah, maybe I'll try and catch at least that late game this year because that sounds like a decent 8
p.m. You're slowing down from the day.
Yeah.
Laying on
could
the couch
be good.
Anyway.
Could be good. All right, quickly, into the Manzi mashup. Speaking of basketball, college basketball already has his fifth number one team since the season started. There's only been 6 weeks. Kansas moves to number one for the first time after Louisville loss last week to Texas Tech. Yep. But also of note, that's in the AP poll, by the way, the net rankings, which is like the new version of the RPI used by the NCAA, mostly to help pick the slate for the NCAA tournament. So the net rankings came out for the first time today. I want to quiz you to see if you can get the top five. Number one,
doing this to me.
Number one, you should be able to get Big Ten team. They've been really hot. Just lost a game, actually, for the first time all year.
Michigan State. Oh, no. Ohio State.
Yes. Yep. Ohio State debuts as number one in the net rankings.
And they just lost, I think, 2 days ago.
Just lost on Sunday night to Minnesota on the road. Yeah. I wanted to watch that game, but it was on the Big Ten Network. And we're not in Big Ten country, so it's hard to get that one. Also, we are in ACC country, but it's hard to get that channel, too. Couldn't watch.
It's impossible.
Xavier. Couldn't watch Xavier Wake Forest the other day either.
It's terrible chance.
I know. Okay. Number two out of the Big 12. I already said this team's name.
Texas Tech?
Nope.
They were good last year with Culliver. Kansas.
Yes. Currently number one in the AP poll, the Kansas. Look out, the FBI's coming. Jayhawks. Number three. This is not a Power 5 team. It is West Coast based.
Gonzaga?
No.
Okay.
They've been known for a flurry of good running backs recently.
Nope.
Couple of guys that have run for over 2K. It's in a very great weather city.
Oh, San Diego State?
Yes. They are number three in the net
rankings.
That's
Kawhi Leonard's
school,
man. They always have a good team.
All right, number four out of the Big East.
I forgot. Yeah, you're talking about Penny. What was that running back's name?
Rashad Penny.
Yeah, and they had Pumphrey.
Yeah,
Donnell Pumphrey.
Yeah, they both
okay.
ran for over 2,000 yards on like back-to-back
yeah,
years.
Yeah, sorry. You had me thinking running back, so I had to get him out.
That's fine.
What was
the all right, now number four team out of the Big East. But not a Big East team you're probably going to think of. Though they have made a couple of national championship games in the last decade.
I don't know if I'm going to get this one.
Weren't members of the Big East when they made those championship games, if that helps. Located in flyover country.
Is, no, Marquette was
a
part of that.
Very historic building, which was featured in a very famous basketball movie.
Georgetown.
No.
All right, give it to me.
The Butler Bulldogs.
Oh, are they? Okay.
They're
what's their
four.
Stadium called? The Big Air...
Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Yep, that's right. Big, big, big arena.
Yeah, it is a barn. And I have been to a game there, in fact. It was nice to go to a game there once. It was kind of a dump. But then they've redone it since, and it's much nicer now. All right, and number five, a Big 12 team as well. Mm. Known more for their football, usually.
Oklahoma?
Decent basketball program. Not great. Not Oklahoma. But that's a good guess.
Iowa State? Are they any good this year?
I feel like I shouldn't have let off of that because aren't most of these programs known more for their football than their basketball?
Yes. Kind of I mean, besides Kansas.
So maybe not a good. They're in the state that hosts most of these schools in the league. They're a former Big 8 member. Former Southwest
Texas?
Conference member. No. They're on the right track.
Texas Tech.
They were. They got in trouble a couple of years ago for things off the field, if you will.
Oh, Baylor. That's right. I just watched them the other day.
The Baylor Bears.
Who did Baylor play? Yeah, I just watched them because they had their neon green, and it was the same day. They were playing a top 15 matchup the same day they were playing in football against Oklahoma. I forget who they were playing, but
I can't remember that one either, but yeah. Is Scott Drew a good coach? Maybe we'll find out this year. Number six. I'm not going to quiz you anymore. I'll run through these quickly. Gonzaga. And they're number two in the AP poll. Number seven, the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl's got it rolling.
Yeah. Number eight, Louisville, who was number one in the AP poll until this week and then lost to Texas Tech. Number nine, Stanford.
Wow.
Have not been relevant in years.
Never seen them up there.
Jared Haas may have that thing cooking finally. Number 10, the Dayton Flyers with Obi Toppin.
Dayton, Ohio, your neck of the woods.
How about that? All right, let's wrap with this. Biggest hot stove move so far this year that's caught your eye because we've actually had an active MLB free agency period. Was there one that jumped out to you? I mean, I know we touched on the Strasburg signing last week. We mentioned how that might impact Rendon not being able to come back.
Sure enough.
Sure enough, it did.
Rendon just went signed with the Angels. Yeah, of course, the one that caught my eye is the craziest one of all, just money-wise. Gerrit Cole getting signed by the Yankees.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I mean, that one, I didn't realize he grew up a Yankees fan, so that probably had a lot to do with it. But what was his contract?
The money he got. So Jeff Passan from ESPN came out, and he said that he was basically like having a joking bet with a colleague, and he said he's going to get north of $250 million. And his colleague said there's absolutely no way. Well, he got north of $300 million for the deal,
which is absurd. And then Bumgarner, who's a little past his prime, just got a five-year deal with the Diamondbacks. And to me, signing Bumgarner is not the issue. I'd sign him to a three-year deal for sure and then cut him afterwards. But 5 years, that just seemed like a lot. I think that happened yesterday, so that's fresh on my mind.
That's not the Diamondbacks' issue necessarily, like pitching, I wouldn't say. But, yeah, that one certainly jumped out to me as being kind of shocking/surprising, and most of the Major League Baseball media seems to agree with that take. But it's been nice to actually have some baseball stuff going on this year, as some movers and shakers. And then not a signing, but the trade, Corey Kluber for...
Where'd he go, the Rangers?
The Rangers for next to nothing. Delino DeShields, the outfielder, and a reliever who projects to maybe be pretty good, but... Very strange. They've been trying to deal him for a couple of years now, and they finally move him. But I don't know if the Indians got what they probably should have in return for him. So there's still a lot of moving pieces out there over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we'll see how they continue to shake out. But boy, it's nice just not hearing over and over again. It's like, oh, when's somebody going to make a sign? When's somebody going to make a move? That got tedious a little bit last year.
Yeah. Hey, what did Rendon get with the Angels?
I don't know the specifics of the contract, but...
Because it's just... I don't have it in front of me either. I just think it's funny how the Dodgers were hot after him, and I saw the headline that he said, basically, Hollywood's not a fit for him. Like, he don't want to be in L.A. Yeah. I respect the hell out of that. Just, he's not chasing the money. Of course, he's still getting paid like crazy with the Angels, but...
Which, folks, we know... The Angels are called the Los Angeles Angels, but they're actually in Anaheim.
Correct.
So you can stay away from the glitz and the glamour if you'd like. Anaheim is a little quieter in that regard. So, they were the California Angels, and then they're the Anaheim Angels, and then they're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and now they're the Los Angeles Angels. I don't understand. Like, if the Ducks can be the Anaheim Ducks, then why can't the Angels be the Anaheim Angels? It actually flowed pretty well. But
yeah, thought it worked well.
I don't know. It's crazy. Anyway, that's our touch on a variety of things around sports and the Manzi mashup. And with that, we put a wrap on another edition of the Sports Bar Podcast. And Alex, this is about as late as we stayed up on that double recording night, but we didn't have to go to work the next day.
Well, so. Yeah, that was the difference. That one, we had a couple more beers flowing.
Yeah, we had a few more in us.
And, this... Certainly, we're not going to let anything stop us here with the Sports Bar Podcast, and we appreciate everyone listening. We've been gaining a little traction, which is fun because you hear a lot of feedback. And you know what? The bowl season right around the corner, we still can cling on to some football, college football, just till the end here. And NFL getting close with the playoffs. Each week, we're going to have more and more for you.
Should we ask people what they want to hear after football season ends? Like, do you want to hear more NBA, more college basketball?
Yeah.
You want to hear hockey? I guess we could become hockey guys if that's what people are looking for.
Do you remember,
know.
Like, our second or third episode, we did a little hockey?
We did.
Yeah,
I don't think we
were like,
hey,
who's leading right now?
Oh, I quizzed you on that
yes.
one. Yeah, who's leading the divisions?
Yeah, I was like,
I couldn't tell you
God,
any of those
no
answers
idea.
Either right now.
No, no way.
I appreciate hockey.
I do.
Have a hard
Someone
time following.
Is, the Capitals are on fire
are
right
they?
Now.
I know that the Wild loss on Sunday night and a wild finish to the Blackhawks.
You are a diehard Wild fan.
I just happened to see it on Twitter.
Oh, you know what? I don't think we said anything. Before we sign off, I need to make sure to announce, as we always do, we are a 49ers official podcast.
Oh, yeah. And we were disappointed in yesterday's
Despite
result.
Their loss.
Disappointed in yesterday's result. I don't think that he was in the end zone.
Oh.
That's sad. That's
Hot
just,
take.
That's
but
a
we're
true,
we're
that's
done. We're
take.
Done, Scott. Don't get it. Don't
we gotta
circle
get off
back.
On that. All right, subscribe, rate, and review the Sports Bar Podcast. We always appreciate you guys for listening in, following in. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.